Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK,
The Lutheran Inquisitor, examining pressing issues and their ramifications for the Church today. The Book of Concord as a missionary tool in Africa is the topic of today's show with your host, Pastor John Ehlers.
We'd like to welcome with us today the Reverend Dr. Ansi Simeoki, who was the former vice president of the Africa area of the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. He retired in 2010. Ansi, welcome. Tell us a little bit about the Lutheran Heritage Foundation.
It's an American foundation organization for translating confessional Lutheran literature, especially the Book of Concord. It was established in the 1990s after the fall of the Soviet Union, and active persons were there. I call them two Bobs, Robert Rahn and Robert Preuss. It has been working actively and growing all, and now the magnitude is about 80 languages and about 70 countries or so. And I served them. I served the Finnish organization from 89 up to 96, and then I was employed by Lutheran Foundation 96, and I worked until Christmas 2009. So we completed together 20 years and 4 months in mission work in Africa.
Some folks who are listening may not know what the Book of Concord is and why you would want to translate it into different languages. Could you maybe give us a brief summary of what the Book of Concord is and why it's so important to translate it?
The Concord means consensus, and it shows that the Lutherans are not only quarreling, but they can also find a consensus, and this was a historically important consensus. What is the Lutheran doctrine? And it's based on some books of Luther, and then the confession which the Lutheran princes presented 1530 on behalf of their churches at the Diet of Augsburg, and then later a very challenging work of reuniting Lutherans who were divided and split by weak leaders after the death of Luther. And so this book was completed, published in 1580 with over 8,000 signatures from all over the Germany. And it was not only a German business, because the Church of Sweden, Finland was those days part of Sweden, also adopted the entire Book of Concord. So it means the Book of Doctrinal Consensus. And this is in traditionally all Lutheran churches, the pastors who, in the connection of the ordination, they give the pledge to follow this biblical faith expressed in the Book of Concord.
So why is it important then that this book be translated into all these languages that you are working on in East Africa?
It's important because it's millions and millions of people know about Martin Luther, that he was a great man, unless they confuse him with Martin Luther King. But what was it all about? Then that's where the difficulty begins, and people have sometimes even wildest imaginations about Luther and also and simply just put this way, it was a question of the Bible, so that the Word of God, and we know that the Bible is not a book; it's a library. It's a library you can put under your arm and walk with it, but it's a library with tens of books in the Old Testament and New Testament. Another question is, when you come across a Muslim who sincerely wants to know, what's Christianity, or a Hindu, or an atheist? Perhaps Richard Dawkins one day would ask, oh, what is Lutheran doctrine? What does you be? So then, instead of trying to read the Bible page by page or taking a verse from here and there, one can have a very concise and clear summary. And so the Book of Concord is a summary of the Bible, as is like the Catechism. It means not everything is there, not histories of David or Saul or so, but how we can be saved, how we can live as Christians in the church and also in the society, what will be our future until the day Jesus comes back.
So for Lutherans who hold this Book of Concord in very high esteem, How does it compare then to the Bible, which again we also hold in very high esteem? Which is more important? Are they equal? Are they? Does one come from the other one?
Thank you. This question I have come across thousands of times. What is more important? A book and that of its summary. So they are inseparable. The summary is a concise presentation telling what is the whole content of this book. A small catechism, Luther's small catechism, is a tiny book, but it is a summary of the Bible, how we can be saved, live as Christians, as I said, in the church, in the society, and then what will be our future. And the Book of Concord is a richer, or says there are many controversies between the Roman Catholic Church, the Pope, and also the left wing of the Reformation, who taught very differently, who rejected the sacraments, or made them to mean just sheer symbols and not being means of grace and so forth. So there were two fronts, Rome, and on the other side, the various spiritualistic movements in Europe who rejected the classic Christian and considered the Reformation as a revolution. And the Lutheran Reformation has never been a revolution, it's a reformation. Naturally, the confession is always measured. The Book of Concord is measured with the Bible, but it's a reliable summary of the Bible, because many people who criticize it, they say that insofar as it's in accordance with the Bible, we can agree. But those same people have been unable. I'm soon 68, and so many times I've come across as a pastor this idea that everything which is in the Book of Concord against the Bible should be taken away. I said, what are those passages? And they never come across. I never can be able to do so. So, point. What is it exactly? It's just a theoretical or hypothetical idea, but it has never been realized. So, it's a reliable summary of the entire Bible, and therefore we can also, in the church, ordinary Christian listening to sometimes a good sermon or very odd sermon or just eccentric sermon, with the Book of Concord and Catechism, can check, is he telling just wild stories, or is this the biblical message? It means the Word of God.
One of your duties, as I understand it, with the Lutheran Heritage Foundation, was to oversee the translation of the Book of Concord into a number of languages.
Yes.
Can you give us a history of how that took place, if it's been done, and I believe that it has been done.
And, to some extent, yes.
And perhaps just give us an update on how this work continues to carry on.
Usually, a normal edition of Book of Concord contains about 800 or 1,000 pages, so it's not a pocketbook in that sense. It contains, the language is very accurate, it's theological, and those were the documents were used in the 16th century. This great controversy between with Rome and, as I said, also the left wing of the Reformation, and therefore the language is accurate, so that it's reliable. And so translating it in a reliable way, so that it's not an easy task at all, and the responsibility is huge. And then there's an anomaly. The 19th century was a time when various Lutheran, actually in all churches, the new mission societies were born. And thousands of missionaries from Europe went out to, for example, to Africa, Asia. But there's one anomaly. For example, in East Africa, Lutherans had been working 150 years, and the only Lutheran book they had translated was the Luther's little tiny Enchiridion. And the Book of Concord was not translated. When I the first time presented in Tanzania this project, and after my presentation, a young pastor, he looked very odd. And he wanted to speak, and the bishop saw that something was now brewing and tried to just calm down. And finally, he could speak, and he said that 150 years, the missionaries have been working here. They left these books behind. Why didn't they bring these books to Africa? Do they think that we Africans are so stupid, so childish, that we don't understand these books? We don't need those books. Is our Christianity different from this? So he took it as a contempt of Africans, that these theological treasures were left behind in Europe. And so the bishop said in a very statesman-like way that, all right, you heard it's true what you said, but let's be happy that finally...
finally arrived.
Finally. It means, like, if I take another picture, there was when we published one translation of Luther's book called The Freedom of Christian. And the first time there was a Lutheran seminary in Tanzania, and after the classes, they got a copy of our, which we had published, and one student said, I want to read it. And when he stopped, Paul had to pause. He said, go, carry on. And he read the whole entire book from the first page to the last page. And then they were jubilating. Finally, Luther has learned to speak our language. Now Luther has become African. And so this is to show the importance of... I come from Finland. There are about 5 million, 6 million people in the entire world who speak Finnish. And our language, 200 years ago, it was a riffraff language in many eyes. And people thought that the language has no future. And therefore, I'm sensitive, let's say, sensitive for these questions of various languages. Although I like to speak English as well as I can and use other languages, German, Russian, Swedish, whatever I can speak. But also that my language is respected, and when it comes to my communication with God, it's mother tongue which is closest to my heart. And Africans, Asians, wherever people, they should have the same possibility. And now this is bringing that Lutheranism is learning to speak African languages. And so the first Book of Concord ever translated in Africa was in 1967 in South Africa in the Zulu language, translated by a German veteran missionary. And now they're polishing it and taking a second print of it. And then the second one, we launched a work in Ethiopia, and they were very enthusiastic about it. So the Ethiopians translated it into Amharic, and this book, which we Lutheran Heritage Foundation financed, I launched it. And then it was financed, and Ethiopians carried it out. It was published 2010. And now this Swahili is spoken by about 130 million people in the world. It's a national language in the East African community, Tanzania, Kenya, Uganda, Rwanda, Burundi, and it's also an official language of the United Nations. There are millions of Lutherans whose language is Swahili. But they didn't. They only had a big little booklet of Luther's Encyclopedia. Now they had a Book of Concord, and this was published in 2011. Now there's work going on in Madagascar, and there's also in French, being Francophone Africa, there's a work to produce a simplified French translation of the Book of Concord, because French is so indispensable still. So they're coming up. They're coming up, and why is this so important? In 20 years, so the growth of Christianity has never been so high as ever anywhere as in Africa, 1980 up to another 2000. So, and also the number of Lutherans grew tremendously. And if the books are not there, if the texts are not there, they will read other books and learn other things, and this most reliable summary of the Bible will be set aside, and they get ideas from elsewhere which are not only unreliable but sometimes even dangerous.
Can you explain to our listeners how the process of translating actually takes place? I suspect many might sit there and say, why can't we just go on Google Translate and it will give us a translation into whatever language we want?
I take one example. We cannot use Google. It's in the beginning of the address, opening address to the Emperor Karl V, the text says that we electors and princes and imperial estates, sincere man, he translated, a friend of ours, he made a proposal for translation. And so what are electors? He found a very funny word for that, because he didn't know the historical background. So there were those princes who were entitled to elect the emperor. Then ordinary princes, And then who are these, what are these estates, imperial estates? So in East Africa, the British brought the term estate. It means a big farm. Thompson Estate or Zimmerman Estate in Nairobi or other estates. So he thought that it's a big farm, so imperial estates. So he translated it to imperial farms. We imperial estates mean, so let's say, clergy, the bishops and the higher clergy, they are one estate. In Scandinavia, we had the peasants also were one estate. They had the representation at the diet, not the parliament, but the diets and so. So there's so much terminology, philosophical, theological, and one must know this history, all the connotations, and even tinges, because with a right word, with the wrong tinge, can be very much misleading. So we collected a huge number of translators, divided the duties. Then I realized that this group was like melting away, and there were only few left who had the motivation, insistence, and also the fidelity to do the work, carry out the work. So we were, let's say, tens when we started, and very few when we finished. But it means that we were learning all the time, and this is the virgin soil. So this is the very first time this book is being translated. And so actually it was translated again and again polished and corrected and polished at least. So the whole process went five times before it came to the final stage. And therefore so much time was spent. One of the horror moments in my career was that I was brought a translation of the part of the Book of Concord. I read it. I realized that it's rubbish. One can never use that side. Oh my, 4 years have elapsed. We will never get this done. And I had to just throw the papers away. And so I decided to do it myself. In hotels and the airports, wherever. I'm traveling a lot around Africa, launching new translation projects in many countries. So I traveled a lot, and whenever I had a chance at the hotel in the evening, no bar, just go back to your work after teaching, or waiting and lay a flight at the airport, I was doing this work. And then God was so gracious as to give us the best possible Swahili expert during the final stage, who is Lutheran, confessional Lutheran, and has been trained in the translation and the Swahili language. So he was the ideal one, and he did the magnificent work of creating in Swahili, which is tasty, mellow, accurate, and fine. It's the very right key and the very right tinge. So he finalized the work. It took 14 years, but it was worth of it. And then there are many other books as well. And so we launched in Ethiopia, then also in Kenya, in tribal languages, other books, other Lutheran books in Tanzania, also in tribal languages, like hymnals, hymn books, Lutheran hymn books. They have an excellent Lutheran hymn book in Tanzania, in Swahili. And so and then we followed that matrix, and then it was translated by Tanzanians to various tribal languages, the same book. Then also in Eastern, in Congo, Zambia, South Africa, Malawi, Cameroon, Benin, Burkina Faso, and so forth. And the number is growing. But the Book of Concord, as I said, it's Zulu in South Africa, Amharic in Ethiopia, Swahili in Kenya, in Tanzania, Kenya, then now that in Madagascar, because it's like a crown jewel, this Book of Concord, and it cannot be done in all possible languages, so it must be a national language like Swahili is.
Going back to some questions that I often hear, and I'm sure you've heard them as well, is it reading the Bible good enough? Why do we have the Book of Concord? We've got the Bible.
We have a saying, old saying in Finland, when children, when they were taught the catechism, and always children can, why must I learn this? I don't want to do this. And there was old wisdom from the fathers, saying that if you don't know your small catechism, the devil for sure will lead you astray in the big Bible. So if you don't know this good summary, it's like a catechism or the book is like a map. We are in near London, and if I don't have any idea in a map of London, so how can I find from point A to point B, or in New York or elsewhere? So I need a map, and so with this map, I can find, oh, that Buckingham Palace is this is there. Oh, now I know where I am. And with the Book of Concord, with the Lutheran Confessions, with the Catechism, we Lutherans know where we are in the Bible, and that then we identify correctly what the Word of God says. In mission work is reproducing itself. A missionary begins here. Then he has two duties, three duties, four duties, five new things coming up. Like one, let's say one working with a translation and other duties. One day, all of a sudden, there was a group of Somalis at our gate, and they wanted to become Christian. They heard that there are Christian missionaries there. So we didn't go out for them. They came in through our gate. And so doing our mission work, our normal work, we also had to run a Somali mission. And I did it for 6 years. And we baptized more than 100 Somalis, and now they are all over in Canada, all over the world. Europe, some of them have been killed because of their faith, so they have been martyred. And then there were some with a university degree, so they began to translate books into Somali language. And now these texts are on the internet, and even from Saudi Arabia, from countries that are closed completely, people can approach the Book of Concord and other Lutheran books. They can approach, and they're doing it, and also asking questions. And so it goes. We did one thing, then it was two, then it was three, and then all of a sudden gates open and people come in, so we have a new task. So this is, so the mission work, actually this translation work also taught me what is the Lutheran mission paradigm, which has been completely lost by most of the, one could say that it's an overstatement, but I say it in a very responsible manner, it's not. So the Lutheran mission paradigm has been lost time and again, and new ideas brought from the World Council of the Churches or Lutheran World Federation, very woke, fashionable, but often unbiblical and un-Lutheran as watchwords and slogans borrowed from here and there. And so when the Book of Concord or parts of it or some other Lutheran books were published, and they were delivered to distribute it to various areas, very soon happened that the local bishop or a dean or general secretary contacted and said that, could you kindly come over and teach us? And so even during the translation, we did teaching all that. I taught in so many places, time and again, the Book of Concord, book by book. I was teaching, and that also helped us in the translation because they enrich our vocabulary and made it more accurate. There was one diocese, I remember, the bishop who died then soon after, he said that it was my sixth seminar which I held there, you know, on the Book of Concord, and he said that, Ansi, have you seen a difference? You remember 6 years ago, my pastors, they made such childish questions, and now when they have been studying the Book of Concord, they are mature men. They are come of age. They understand now what is Lutheranism. And you could, when I follow discussion, it's a completely different. It was like a kindergarten talk, and now they speak like mature men. And that was one of the best thanks what I ever received in my work. So these books, they require teaching. And with this teaching, actually the heritage is given over to Africans to which it belongs. And then they are the right people, actually, to go to their own people and with their own rich language to teach Luther, the Lutheran doctrine, which is the biblical doctrine of the Bible. And so this is how it happened. So actually, the translation work of the Book on Concord created in me, I rediscovered what is the Lutheran mission program.
The examination of the Book of Concord as a missionary tool in Africa will be back next week. Thank you for listening to the Lutheran Inquisitor with Pastor John Ehlers. If you have any questions or comments about the issues raised in this program, send an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. The podcast of this show is available from our website. Check our program online and stay tuned.